Our Hebrew Bible lesson this morning comes from the letter, from the story, 1 Samuel 2, chapter 18 through 20, and then following with verse 26. You can find it in your pew Bible, in the Hebrew Bible, of page 235 it begins. Hear these words. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. His mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord repay you with children by this woman for the gift that she made to the Lord." And then they would return to their home. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and with the people. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson is from Colossians. You'll find it in your pew Bible on page 190. Chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The gospel lesson today comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. You'll find it in the Pew Bible in the New Testament on page 55. Hear this story. Now, every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I got to admit to you that I always chuckle when I think about the lectionary for this time surrounding Christmas. I mean, just think about this. Last Sunday, the Blessed Virgin Mary was pregnant with her son. On Thursday, Jesus was born in that stable in Bethlehem. Today, Jesus is already 12 years old, showing off in the temple at Jerusalem. Next Sunday, he'll be a baby again, accepting the gifts from the three magi. And then the following Sunday, the Sunday after that, he'll be 30 years old, standing on the banks of the Jordan River, preparing to be baptized by John the Baptist. The timing of the gospel is somewhat scattered. But I don't think it's completely unlike the way our own memories work. You don't remember things in a linear fashion, do you? Neither do I. Our memories bounce around, and so too the stories in the Bible. But this week between Christmas and New Year's is a time for many people, a time of looking back and also a time of looking forward, a time of remembering what happened in 2009 and a time for planning what might happen in 2010. This is a time of memories and plans. And many people use this week as they approach the new year as a time when they might think about making some New Year's resolutions. How about you? Are you planning to make any New Year's resolutions? Maybe not that you're willing to admit. Well, I plan to make several. But, you know, one of the interesting things about these lectionary readings is the parallel situation between the story of Samuel and the story of Jesus. If you think about it, both of these young men are growing and maturing. They are coming to understand their place in the world, and they're coming to understand their place vis-a-vis God. Now, the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and with the people. That's the story from 1 Samuel. And then in Luke, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. With the birth of Jesus Christ, Thursday, Friday, whenever you will celebrate it, at that birth, God has given us the best Christmas gift that we could ever receive. On this day after Christmas, this gift has an interesting new meaning. Just as Samuel and Jesus were growing and maturing, so too each of us is called to grow and mature with God. And this challenge is a wonderful place to begin to think about our own New Year's resolutions. Now, I believe that none of us is too young or too old to challenge ourselves to accept this life-transforming love of Jesus Christ. And in this story, Jesus provides us with the right place to start. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. So let's think about these four areas of life: wisdom, years, divine favor, and human favor. Well, this I can guarantee you: with the passing of another year, each of us will turn another year older. Some of us look on this with pessimism, perhaps a little depressed that we're always getting older. But as my brother-in-law, Jane's brother, always says, getting older is better than the alternative. I guess we all certainly should be thankful to God that we have fairly good health and that we are, in fact, alive today. But getting older is not something that requires a New Year's resolution. Trust me, it'll happen whatever you do or say or don't do. But as with the passing of years, each of us accumulates more memories and hopefully more experience at life. Each of us probably knows someone who gets, as they get older, they don't appear to get any wiser. Do you know somebody like that? But I think that's the key, that as we age, we should never stop learning and growing in knowledge and wisdom. And so maybe that's a really good place to start for your first resolution for the new year. In 2010, I will take concrete steps to learn something new every day. and then I will turn that learning into wise action. Scripture tells us that Jesus increased in human favor and divine favor, and so should we. Each of us could probably use a little work on our relationships with others. We need to improve the daily interactions we have with members of our own family, with members of our community, with members of our church, for example. And as Melba read, I think Paul offers us some very good advice. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Paul said those words to the Colossians, but I think he was also talking to us. This also would make a terrific New Year's resolution. In 2010, I will daily work on my relationship with other people, with those I love, and with those I should love. Jesus also, and most importantly, increased in divine favor. And so should we. Each of us needs to improve our relationship with God. Again, Paul offers us a good place to start. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through him. The founder of the Methodist movement, John Wesley, would probably suggest to us the most basic and foundational ways of improving our relationship with God. Wesley would tell us to pray and to read the Bible. And so that's my final suggestion for a great New Year's resolution. In 2010, I will make every effort to pray every day and to read a Bible passage in daily devotion to God. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. So here's a great place to start for improving your life in 2010. By learning something new every day and by turning that knowledge into wise action. By working on your relationship with other people, those you love and those who you should love. And by praying every day and by reading at least one passage from the Bible every day. My sisters and brothers, each of these things are ways that God can transform your life in this coming new year. Each of these things will bring glory to God. And each of these things will make your life more meaningful. And I pray that it may be so for you. Amen.